All right, for our scripture reading this morning, let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is in the New Testament, towards the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, that's where we're going to go for our scripture reading here this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, just going to read three short verses, starting with verse 23. So I hear pages turning, so I think everyone's pretty much there. Okay, that's good. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, starting with verse 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, for this word, we give thanks. For your Son, Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Father, all that we are and all that you have given us all comes from you, Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. And we thank you for this. Father, as we meditate on these words, and Father, as you put the words in my mouth to speak here this morning, Lord, I just pray that we will all be uplifted, we will all be encouraged, Lord, and we will all be transformed by your power. And you get all the glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For some of you, that might be new to Beech Grove Christian Church. Here we do sermon series, and we're right in the middle of a sermon series right now called The Church is a Place of Blank. Fill in the blank. The thing we want to do is this, answer the question, why are we here? Why are we here? Why do we show up for church on a Sunday morning? I believe it is very important that we do not allow church to become routine. And I am hoping and praying that the sermon series will allow all of us to have at least 8 very good and solid biblical reasons why we come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Last week, we filled in the blank with our first word. Church is a place of salvation. There's probably other words that are equivalent to that. It's a place of hope. It's a place of forgiveness. But I chose the word salvation. It's a place of salvation. And I said this, and I think we would all agree that not everybody who's sitting in a pew in a church on a Sunday morning is saved, is not a believer. So in just about every local church body, you may or will find some unsaved mixed in with the saved. I'm sure in some churches, 100% of the attendance, everyone's a believer. Unfortunately, I believe the opposite might be true also. 100% of the people in that church might be unsaved also, along with the pastor. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 23, Jesus tells two parables about tares being mixed in with the wheat. And in both these parables, the wheat represents the saved, represents believers, and the tares represent unbelievers. So with Jesus saying that, it's not uncommon to say that just about in every local church, you will find the unsaved mixed in with the saved. You will find the tares mixed in with the wheat. And the logical conclusion to all that would be this, that it is quite common then for a person to get saved in a church. That's why we said last week, church is a place of salvation. I have no idea why somebody might walk in those doors on a Sunday morning, be they saved or not saved. My prayer is always this, that they walk back out those doors a changed and saved person. So why am I pointing this out? Because we spent all last week talking about this. So why am I pointing this out again? Because starting with today's word that we're going to fill in that blank, all the words that we use from today on out for the next 7, 8 weeks, however long it's going to be, the unbeliever who might be in this church during that time just might not quite understand what we are talking about. You see, because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, the person without the Spirit, and that would be the unbeliever, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So as we talk about things that are discerned by the Spirit, those of us in here who are believers will certainly understand. Because those of us in here who are believers, we have the Holy Spirit and we have that gift of discernment. So let's go to our word for today and we'll talk about this. You probably already see it in your bulletin, so we'll just go ahead and talk about that. Our word for today is this. Church is a place of encouragement. Church is a place of encouragement. Last week, we said church is a place of salvation. Today, church is a place of encouragement. I'm going to do something this week, what I did last week. We're going to kind of all repeat that together, okay? On the count of three, we're going to say that. Church is a place of encouragement. Ready? One, two, three. Church is a place of encouragement. Okay. I just know that when we repeat things, we understand them and we remember them a little bit more. In our scripture reading out of Hebrews this morning, we are told to encourage one another. And that would mean this, that I am to encourage you. That would mean this, you are to encourage me. And if we look around the sanctuary, we are to encourage one another. One another. We are to encourage one another. Did you know that in the New Testament, the word encourage, or some form of the word encourage, is used 46 times? Now that's an awful lot of times. If it's used that many times, I would think that encouragement must be important. Why would encouragement be important? Well, first, I'm going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and just read a couple verses. Let's see first why encouragement might have been important to the early church. And I'm going to go backwards here to the left to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And actually, this is something that Pastor Dale read this week when he was preaching, and it kind of caught my ear. And I said, that'd be perfect for Sunday's sermon. Acts, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now remember, there's an early church, they're just getting started. And at the end of chapter 7, Stephen was a Christian. He just got stoned to death. He was the first martyr of the church. So we pick up the action. He had just got done being stoned to death. So we pick up Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul, and this is the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. I think we can probably conclude, just by reading those three verses, is this, that the early church was suffering pretty severe persecution. They were literally hated by anyone who wasn't a Christian. The Jews didn't like them. And Saul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Jew. And what did he want to do? He wanted to imprison them. In other parts of the Bible, it says that he wanted to also kill them, put them to death. So the Jews didn't like Christians. The Gentile pagan world didn't like Christians because they did things in a different way. And because of the Roman persecution, many early church Christians were martyred. Being a Christian during that time wasn't a very popular thing to be. So it was really necessary that Christians encouraged one another because of all this persecution that was going on. But that was 2,000 years ago. Here we are, 21st century America. And I don't believe we suffer persecution quite the same way that the church did back in the book of Acts or the early church. But that doesn't mean we don't suffer in different ways. Amen? Today, we have different reasons why we need encouragement. The early church maybe needed encouragement due to persecution. But I believe we have our own reasons why we need encouragement today. But first, before we get into that, let's be honest about one thing. If we are told as believers to encourage one another, couldn't we say that the secular world out there, the unbelieving world, they can be encouraging too, right? They can be encouraging. Unbelievers, and we all know unbelievers, we have unbeliever friends and family in our life, they can be very kind, they can be very thoughtful, and they can be very encouraging in their words to and for one another. So what sets us apart? If we're believers, what sets us apart from the believing world when it comes to encouragement? Well, let me put another term. Let me kind of redefine this a little bit. Let's call what believers need and give biblical encouragement. Not so much what the world can do, but what we can do. So we'll call that biblical encouragement. So the first thing let's do here this morning is this. Let's define that. Let's define what biblical encouragement is. If we're going to be encouragers by what the Bible says, how do we define that? I'll be honest with you. I tried to find a real good verse that would give just a real good definition of encouragement, and I couldn't find one. So I did the next best thing. I made one up. So what you're going to get is Pastor Mike's biblical definition of biblical encouragement. And this will be our first fill in the blank in our bulletin. Biblical encouragement is when we bring the presence of God into the presence of another. It's when we bring the presence of God into the presence of another. You see, unbelievers cannot do that because they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. So they can't bring the presence of God to another person. But we can. But we can. And I'm going to go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, just for a second here. And I'm going to read that one verse because I think this one verse kind of helps us define a little bit of biblical encouragement. And Romans 15, 4 says this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The encouragement of the Scriptures. So when we say the presence of God, if we're going to bring the presence of God into the life, into the presence of somebody else that needs encouragement, what do we bring that person? We bring God's Word into the presence of that Christian. Encouragement then, for the believer, is at a spiritual level and not so much at a worldly level. Anybody can operate with encouragement here. But I believe God's Word calls us as believers to operate with encouragement at a spiritual level. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. That's what we bring the presence. That's how we bring the presence of God into a person who might need encouragement. We bring Scripture. We bring the Word of God in some way, shape, or form into the life of that person. Let's go to our second fill in the blank, and we can come up with this answer by that same verse, Romans 15, 4. Our second fill in the blank in the bulletin would say this. The end result of encouragement is hope. And that's exactly what Romans 15:4 says. It says, "For everything that was written in the past, which would be the Old Testament scriptures, was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." You ever feel like you need hope? You ever feel like you just have those times you just need some hope in your life? A believer needs encouragement. So let's kind of answer this. Why would a believer need encouragement? Because at some moment in time, and as I look around the congregation, I believe we could all shake our heads yes to this. At some moment in time, we all need a refreshment of hope in our lives, don't we? We just need to hear words of encouragement. Our problem, or a believer's problem, might be at a worldly level. Maybe our problem is here. Maybe a job, maybe a family situation, whatever it is. But the encouragement that we give as believers has to be at the spiritual level. It has to be up here. This is what's going to make the difference, not our words from down here. Psalm 51:10 says this, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Anybody who's a student of the Bible knows that Psalm 51 is the psalm that David wrote shortly after he had his encounter with the prophet Nathan. And remember why the prophet Nathan encountered David? He said this, "You are the man." What did David do? I think it was the adultery thing. I think it was the murder thing. And David is really, really doing some inward thinking about what he's done. His problem was he messed up an awful lot of lives by doing what he did. And maybe some of that problem was worldly and some was spiritual. But David did this. He knew one thing. The solution to his problem, the hope that he needed, was going to be at a spiritual level. "Create in me, O God, a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." May I say this? Biblical encouragement. Now we need to listen up here, folks. Biblical encouragement is not one believer building up the self-esteem of another believer. Encouragement is not about our self-esteem. Self-esteem is at a worldly level, and our encouragement to each other does not operate down here. Encouragement involves bringing the Spirit of the living God into the presence of another person. I should have had, I know I got one more fill in the blank, and I'm going to get to that here in a second. But there was another one that I should have put in there, and as I was reviewing my sermon this morning before I showed up, I said, how could I have ever forgot this? So we do have a couple lines there in your bulletin if you feel like you need to write this in here, but this should have been a fourth fill in the blank, and I'm going to kind of fit it in there between the second and third. So this is kind of like bullet 2.5. Encouragement does not involve a believer justifying another believer's sin. Okay? Encouragement does not mean that a believer justifies another believer's sin. For example, let's say a friend of mine, he comes up to me, and he's a believer, and he comes up to me and he says, "Mike, I have been having an affair with this other woman. It's been going on for 6 months now." What am I to say? Yeah, Bob. Yeah, well, why not? Why don't you go on out and do that? You know, after all, if I was married to your wife, I probably would have an affair too. No. Now, how ridiculous would that be? Oh, you just go ahead because you deserve it. I know what kind of woman you're married to. Now, what kind of encouragement is that? I cannot justify. I know that's an extreme example. It's probably not a real good example. But the point is this. I cannot condone or justify the sin of another believer. That is not encouragement. Sometimes encouragement involves rebuke. Sometimes I need to go up to a fellow believer, or a fellow believer needs to come up to me. And sometimes rebuke is part of encouragement too. Sometimes we need to be told, "No, no, no. No, no, no. You shouldn't be doing that." And that's okay. That is scriptural. We're supposed to go to one another and restore them gently, as Galatians 6:1 says, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. So I wanted to throw that in there, that encouragement does involve rebuke because we cannot justify each other's sin. So let's move on with our real third in the blank here. And we'll answer this one by going back to our original scripture of Hebrews chapter 10. And this one's pretty obvious. And this is one that many pastors use. Encouragement, and this is our third fill in the blank. Encouragement happens, or I believe in the bulletin I put the word must in there. Encouragement must happen when we meet together. When we meet together. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in their habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Sure, I will admit, and I'll be the first one to admit this, that we can all encourage each other outside of the walls of this church. And I certainly hope we do. If we're out there and Erlene or Mike or Romy or whoever, Glenn, needs some encouragement and we run into them outside these walls, I certainly hope that we remember that we need to bring the presence of God into the presence of that person. But inside these walls, right now, what we are doing, encouragement must happen. We need to encourage one another. Certainly the pastor needs to be the person encouraging his congregation. The congregation needs to be people who encourage each other. You know, one of the things that I see here at Beech Grove Church, not only before church or after church, is people stay around and they talk. And I hope during that time of fellowship that there's a lot of encouragement going on. And I certainly hope that does happen. Church is a place where we should feel safe to ask for and to give encouragement. You know, some people have difficult situations going on in their lives, and they're afraid to tell somebody. They're afraid to tell somebody because they feel like, well, if I tell them, it's really not their business. But we miss the opportunity of a blessing of encouragement in our lives when we fail to do that. Because if I share what's going on in my life with, well, let's say, Daryl, Daryl has that opportunity to be an encouragement to me, or vice versa. We should not pass up those opportunities to ask for and to give encouragement within the walls of this church, or even outside the walls. When I first got saved, the person who led me to Christ, his name was Jim, he gave me this word of encouragement. He said this. I was talking to him about a church situation, or the church that I was in at the time, and he said this, Mike, church is not a place to do battle. Church is a place of encouragement. Church is not a place to do battle. Church is a place of encouragement. And that's exactly what we all need to do with each other. We need to ask for encouragement, and there's nothing wrong with that. I have this or that or this or that going on in my life, and I need some encouragement. Or if you go up to another person, or it says, another person just says, I just feel like you need some encouragement. Let's face it, sometimes we are the ones who need the encouragement, correct? Amen? Sometimes we need the encouragement, but sometimes also we are the ones who give the encouragement. Sometimes we're the receivers, sometimes we are the givers. Now let me say this, this is a pretty profound statement. Encouragement does not necessarily solve our problems. It just helps us get through them. It just helps us get through them. It doesn't solve our problems. Let me give you a personal example. 2 weeks ago, all of you know, I work at McClung Printing in Waynesboro, and I work in their shipping department, and I pack boxes most of the day, but sometimes I am responsible for all the IT, the computer work. Now, when I go in the morning, I have all my orders sitting there, and I know what my day looks like. And I can structure my day according to how many orders I need to fill. But sometimes I get that phone call from the other McClung company, and they say, Mike, we got computer issues. You need to come on over here and fix them. Could I just be honest with you? I do not multitask very well. Okay, I think that's the proper word for today, multitasking. And maybe it's a guy thing. You know, I don't think I would make a very good woman, because I think women can multitask and do it well, but I don't think guys do. Okay? You know what guys like to do? They like to fix things. They like to take care of it just like that. Fix it right now. And so when I go across the street and try to fix their computer problems, I expect to fix them right away. So what happens when I don't? I sit there and I think of, I need to fix this because this person can't work until I fix their computer. And then I think of this. My work's not getting done over here. Who's going to do it? My boxes aren't getting packed. And all of a sudden, you feel the wheels just starting to come to a crawl and then finally stopping. And then I go into frazzle mode. And 2 weeks ago, my friends, it was frazzle mode all week. It was. And I will admit, I needed encouragement. Now, granted, my wife, Gail, who's not here with us here this morning, she recognizes it. It's written all over my face. She knows it. And she was so wonderful and just so gracious to try to encourage me. And spouses should encourage our spouses, right? I mean, that's what one of the things that marriage is based on, that encouragement. But I will say this. The whole week was tough. And praise the Lord, Saturday came along. And I didn't have to work Saturday. And I got up Saturday morning. I didn't even feel like writing a sermon Thursday night, which is my sermon writing night, because I felt like in the frame of mind that I'm in, Beech Grove does not want to hear what I have to say. So I'll wait till I'm a little bit in a better mood about this whole thing. But the work situation was still there, and I knew Monday morning it would still be there. I got up Saturday morning, and I said, I haven't even checked my email all week. So that's the first thing. Before I write my sermon, let me check my email. And there it was. Of course, you get all the junk emails. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, the ones you delete, and you get through all those. But there was one email, and it was from somebody in this church. And I won't bring up their name. Two sentences. That was it. Two sentences. Completely changed how, in my perspective, on the problems that I was dealing with. Because that person brought the presence of God into the presence of me. I'm sure when that person wrote that email, they had no clue what I was going through that week. It's not like I called them and said, will you please send me an email? Please, encourage me, will you? But doesn't God sometimes just put that on our hearts? Sometimes He puts it on our heart and says, Mike, or you need to go to this person, or Cindy, you need to seek out this person, because I believe today they just need a little encouragement. And boy, what a turnaround that was. Not that what Gail, my wife, was trying to encourage me didn't work, but sometimes when encouragement comes from maybe places we don't expect it, it's so uplifting. And that email just uplifted me like I cannot believe. Well, I should be able to believe it, because that's how God's Word works. So to that person who's might be sitting in here this morning, thank you for sending me that email, and you probably know who you were. But, as I said, it doesn't necessarily solve our problems. Monday morning, that computer was still broke. I'd have to go in Monday morning to work, and I'd still have to fix it. And my orders were starting to pile up. It didn't change my situation, but it certainly helped me get through them. My outlook on the whole situation, how I approach it. And sometimes that is all we need, with words of encouragement. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 25 says this. God says this, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. And Psalm chapter 10, verse 17 says this, tells us that the Lord listens to our cry and He encourages us. As I look around this room here this morning, some of you, I know exactly some particular situations that you're going through, and some of you have publicly announced them from up here, and we want everyone to pray for him, and that's okay. We all need encouragement, don't we? My goodness. We can come in here on a Sunday morning, and we can smile, and we can make it look like everything's just fine, and you know, we're real nice to each other. But let's face it, around 12:30 or whatever time we leave here, when we get back out there, life becomes just life all over again, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It's still out there. Wouldn't it be great that when we leave here, we just feel a little more pumped up? We just feel a little more encouraged? Because when we came to church that Sunday morning, we came because church is a place of encouragement. Not that our problems go away. It just helps us get through them just a little bit better. So, we've gone through 2 weeks now. What is church? So why do we show up here? Why do we show up? And the example I gave last week is this. We all know as parents, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, sometimes we have those young'uns that are saying, "Oh, come on, grandpa, why do I need to go to church?" Now you got two good reasons. Because you say this, "Son, church is a place of encouragement, and we need to be there. And church is a place of salvation, and we need to be there. So get your shoes on, because this morning, we are going to church." So let's go to God in prayer.